I'm Denise Crosby, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, Part 6, to name a few. And you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Hey, guys, Tyler Mann here, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hi, I'm John Russo, screenwriter of Night of the Living Dead. Welcome to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
What up, Mean Militia? I'm Mean Joe Grizzly, and when I'm not running from my life from a rampaging radioactive dinosaur, I'm at the Grizzly Cave, watching movies, reading comics, listening to metal, and of course, crushing beers. And I am back at the Grizzly Cave to give y'all my review of one of my most anticipated films of the year, as well as, strangely, my biggest surprise of this year. And that's the latest Godzilla film from the original studio Toho, titled Godzilla Minus One.
But before we get started, I want y'all to take a second and follow the show on all social media platforms, as well as joining my Mean Militia on the show's official Facebook group by clicking the links down in the episode description. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever platform y'all listen on. By doing this, y'all support the show and help me continue to talk to y'all about all forms of badassery.
So, let's get started. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. Godzilla Minus One is the latest Godzilla film from Toho Studios in Japan and was released on December 1st, 2023, and is directed by Takashi Yamazaki. In Japan's final days in World War II, a kamikaze pilot named Koichi Shikishima fakes technical issues with his plane and lands on Odo Island to avoid his suicide mission. Later that night, the base is attacked by a dinosaur-like monster that locals call Godzilla. Shikishima and a master mechanic named Tachibana are the sole survivors. Shikishima would then spend the next several years plagued by PTSD and survivor's guilt, but tries to move on and live a normal life. But his life is once again uprooted when Godzilla returns, and this time he's even more terrifying and destructive than before, leading Shikishima and his friends to take action or watch their country be destroyed once again. So I was very, very excited about seeing this, and I had some expectations, but I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that this would be this damn good. And I also want to say y'all need to be real proud of me, because with this southern drawl and my little hick accent, pronouncing some of these Japanese names, oh man, I'm butchering them. So I've done this take like 72 times. So anyway, as most of y'all know, I am a hardcore Godzilla fan. He is one of, if not my favorite fictional character of all time. And I've seen all of his major films in the franchise, most of the fan films that they've released, most of the spinoff material, as well as all of the American Godzilla media, from the MonsterVerse movies to the comics to novelizations. I love this character. But other than the original 1954 film that started it all, I wouldn't say that any of the other films in this franchise are Oscar worthy or award winning worthy as far as the entire film goes. Until now. This movie isn't your typical Godzilla movie or kaiju film. It is one of the deepest, emotionally driven, well-written, character-driven, and quite frankly, realistic Godzilla films I've seen, if not the most. And it is certainly a contender for my pick of film of the year. Yes, I said it. This film is that good. And it's not just a kaiju movie. It has so much more to offer than that. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to get to the positives first. So starting out with the positives, the characters. Shikishima, Noriko, which is kind of his love interest. The doc, the captain, the kid. All of those characters are standouts. Like, they're doing the best job they can because they're on the screen the most. But all the characters that you were introduced to were awesome. All of them. And they were all portrayed to perfection. They are all very well written and very well portrayed. And they do a phenomenal job of portraying the effects of PTSD and survivor's guilt without it being like super heavy-handed and super preachy with its message. It's just, it's there and it's executed to perfection. Like, you feel the pain that Shikishima is going through and how it is affecting everybody around him, as well as how in Japanese culture, how they deal with failure, and it's particularly failure of duty. And, you know, him being a kamikaze pilot, and I'm not revealing any spoilers. I might reveal some at the end and give y'all a spoiler alert before then, but as of right now, there's no spoilers. So what I'm telling you is not spoiling the film at all, but just Shikishima's him dealing with abandoning his duty as a kamikaze pilot, and then that carrying over to all of these different instances where he could, quote, redeem himself, he just fails at doing that as well, and is primarily looked at as a coward, not only in his eyes, but in his culture and by people around him that know that he abandoned his duty. It speaks volumes of the culture of Japan at the time, and really of their culture all around. I've never been to Japan. I want to go so freaking bad. But from the outside looking in as an American, it seems like they are very, very hard on themselves when it comes to failure in any capacity. So seeing this portrayed in this way kind of lets me believe that some of those things that we see outside looking in at their culture is true. And it really hits home here. And it feels so organic. Nothing feels forced or over the top. Even the boisterous nature of the captain, where he's like just so jolly almost in everything he does. It just seems so genuine and so organic. I just think all these actors just did a phenomenal job. And that kind of segues into the story and the writing. This movie is written so damn well. It's well thought out. It has a lot of historical accuracies without it being too historical. So the liberties that they do take still make sense. And they have this great explanation on why the U.S. isn't present, because post-World War II Japan was very much occupied by the U.S. as far as a military presence. And you don't see that here. You just see, you generally, in this movie, you see some U.S. presence, but it's not in Japan. And I'm not going to elaborate on that. But the way that they explain that and the way that they set that up is pretty smart. And I can say it because it's not really spoiling anything, but the reason why the U.S. isn't more present and they're not helping with this situation is because of the Cold War. That was really, really smart for them to do that. They didn't want the Americans to be super involved in this situation, because America was like, nah, we can't do it because if we mobilize troops or the Navy to Japan, being that close to Russia, Russia is going to automatically think that we're mobilizing against them. And the whole world was a powder keg at that point, because Russia had the bomb, America had the bomb, and they were the two biggest superpowers that were left after World War II. So, of course, the Cold War almost immediately started after World War II. And it was a good way for them to kind of explain away why the Americans wasn't getting involved and why they were just sitting back and letting all this happen. The directing in this movie that Takashi Miyazaki does is incredible. He paces this movie perfectly. Like, this movie never feels like it drags. It's like, even though it's like a very drama filled movie, and usually those have some kind of lull period, some kind of drag to them, this doesn't, because you're so completely engaged in these well written and well acted characters that it just never feels like there's stuff left unsaid or anything that is just drug on for too long. Everything feels so crisp and just paced perfectly. As far as the drama goes in the directing and in the writing, this movie has, it's kind of hard to explain, but this movie has drama that's on par with like a Saving Private Ryan, or even it's got cues to Jaws. Like, there's so many callbacks in this movie that they're callbacks that are respectful and not imitating. They just nailed what they were going for. Like, you see scenes in the trailer, so I'm not really spoiling anything, but the scene where Godzilla's chasing this ship, this little boat, that shit was so fucking intense. Like, you were just, you care so much about these characters because they get you invested in them, because they're so well portrayed and so well written that you're like, oh shit, like, are they gonna die? Is Godzilla gonna kill them? Is this gonna happen? Like, it just leaves you like you're biting your nails, because it's done so incredibly well. And again, back to the drama is done so well that you just feel the heaviness and the weight of it. And like I said, it has like that post-war type stuff that was in like Saving Private Ryan and those movies where people are flashbacking to wars and stuff, like where the effect that it left on them for generations and stuff, that kind of drama is present in this movie. It was so shocking to see that in this film. Like, I thought it was just going to have like a little subtext in there or a little subtle hints, but no, it dives right into this and it does it so damn good. The special effects. This movie was made with a $15 million budget. $15 million. And it looks phenomenal. It's not just... Now, is it the greatest CGI ever? No. But $15 million, this CGI is incredible. And it was done so well and utilized so well. Is there some shots here that look wonky? Yes. But for $15 million and not a Hollywood produced production, it looks incredible. The sets and the settings and the background shots and environments are absolutely incredible. I don't know how much of that was CGI and how much of that was real, but they look amazing. And the U.S. needs to take notes. Hollywood needs to take damn notes, because CGI is getting worse and worse in these films that have budgets that are hundreds of millions of dollars, and a Toho film's CGI and special effects look light years better. I'm looking at you, Flash, with your shitty CGI. Like, seriously. It just doesn't make any sense. And just to go on a little mini rant here, y'all can tell me that the visual effects people are worked to death and underpaid all the hell you want. They're still delivering a shitty product. Like, seriously. Like, just take notes, Hollywood. Moving on to Godzilla. Godzilla looks awesome. He looks, his design, he looks menacing. He looks scary as shit. He just has this attitude when he's walking, and he's, the looks on his face like he is there to fuck shit up. And it reminded me a lot of the Heisei era Godzilla. Because when the Heisei era is my favorite era overall, because it just had this vibe to it that Godzilla just don't give a fuck. He's there to kick whatever monster's ass or destroy whatever city, and whichever one comes first, he don't give a shit. He's just there to whoop ass. And that's how this Godzilla is. And at times he is terrifying. Like, again, back to the scene that you can see in the trailer with him chasing the boat. That scene is so fucking intense, and he looks so damn menacing. Like, he's just patiently chasing after this boat so that he could destroy it. And he's just destroying just to destroy. Now, I'm assuming that he's destroying because he considers the Japan archipelago and most of the Pacific on that side to be his territory. That's what I'm assuming, because he just destroys this and destroys. There's a few scenes in here where he just completely decimates certain things, and you're like, how the fuck are they going to stop him? Like, they literally do just a fantastic job of making him look just unbeatable, like this insurmountable force, like literally a god walking on Earth. And his heat ray is, it might be the most devastating that it's ever been. And that was, I love all the new stuff that they brought in with this movie as far as his character goes. And I love the homages they played to older Godzilla movies, like the Odo Island reference, where, because a lot of stuff in when Godzilla's pretty much first discovered is on Odo Island in the original movie as well. So that was cool. And some of the things that they did throughout the movie were just callbacks to the older Godzilla movies, like the original Godzilla theme getting brought in for when he shows up and he's in all of his glory. They do that a couple of times at certain points that just hit right at the right time. And there's the original score in this movie is great as well. There's this very dramatic score when they're running from Godzilla in the boat, and there's a scene where something nuts happens, and this desperation in this score just really brings everything home to what the hell are we gonna do about this? How can we stop this force of nature? And this movie is just incredible. So if I would move on to the negatives, but I don't have any. And I mean that. I mean, I could say, yes, yeah, some of the parts of the CGI were wonky. I don't have anything negative to say about this movie. This movie exceeded my expectations. And it's one of the biggest surprises this year, because when I walked into this movie, I was like, okay, it's going to be just like Shin Godzilla. For those of you who don't know, Shin Godzilla was the last Godzilla movie that Toho did when the Legendary Monsterverse was doing so well. They got off their ass and they made Shin Godzilla. And Shin Godzilla is one of the more unique takes on Godzilla. It was really, it was cool and interesting, but it was kind of out there with its concept. That was done by the guy who made Neon Genesis Evangelion, if anybody's an anime fan out there that's listening. And it was just very strange, but I enjoyed it. But would I put Shin on in the top of the list of Godzilla films? I wouldn't personally, but I could see it's definitely in the top half of Godzilla films. But it just wasn't, it was good, but it wasn't what I wanted. It didn't blow me away like it did everything else. This absolutely blew me away. I just didn't see this coming. And again, I'm very, it's a contender for my film of the year. This is definitely the most enjoyment and the most emotional feels that I've gotten from a film this year. Nothing's hit me in the feels like this did. Nothing's just made me just walk away just wow. Now, with that being said, I haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon. I haven't seen The Creator. And there's a couple other ones out there I haven't seen. So, but do I put this on par with, like, with Oppenheimer? Yes. Yes, I do. I definitely do. And it's going to be interesting when I bring out my best of at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, because it's going to be, this film's definitely going to be up there. As far as like what's its impact on the Godzilla franchise and what's next for Toho, from what I understand, this is supposed to kickstart Toho's MonsterVerse, where they're going to start bringing out new kaiju movies, not just Godzilla, but some of their other properties that have been laying dormant. And I would love to see a Rodan movie, a newer Rodan movie, or a newer Mothra movie, or really any other if they could do a, man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting real kaiju deep cuts here. If you're not a big kaiju movie fan, watch out, because you're going to be like, God, this guy's nerding the fuck out, because I am. I would love to see them do a new War of the Gargantuans movie, like remake that. That would be so badass. If you've never seen War of the Gargantuans, it's a classic kaiju movie. Please watch it. I would love to see all that happen. And what I want to see happen with, as far as Godzilla goes, I want them to take cues from the Legendary MonsterVerse, and I want them to start building their universe by bringing in all these monsters, you know, develop Godzilla further. And if they want to take this more grounded approach, that'd be cool too, because this version of Godzilla is very grounded. It's grounded as a giant radioactive dinosaur monster can be. But it is. It just seemed very realistic, and kind of want to dive into spoilers here somewhat. I'm not going to completely give anything away, but the way that they figured out how to, quote, beat Godzilla, the way that they did that was very unique and a really big breath of fresh air. So I like how they're taking this more grounded approach and not just coming up with this weird super weapon that can never exist. But they find an actual practical and realistic way as to how they can defeat this monster. I loved that. Like I said, just great writing. They just know how to write. This guy, they just wrote a good movie, and it just stuck. But what I want to see is, I want them to stay with this, like I said, stay with this grounded approach and bring out these more drama / closer to horror type kaiju films and get us in there. Like, get us to the point, like, let America take the reins on the fantastical side of things, which is what the MonsterVerse is leading to. And that's something I'm going to talk about at the end of this episode. But let us handle the fantastical stuff right now. Y'all take the more grounded approach, because I like what y'all are doing, because someone's taking y'all serious. And I feel like that America, the closest thing that we've ever got in America to being this serious and this like good of a film, is probably Godzilla 2014, the movie that kicked off the MonsterVerse. So let us handle the fantastical and super sci-fi version of Godzilla, and y'all just keep doing the super serious dramatic version, because I'm completely cool with that. I'm one of those Godzilla fans that I welcome all forms of Godzilla media, and yes, some are better than others, but I like both the cheesy and campy side and the serious and more grounded side. Sign me up for both. That's just how I feel about it. Now, what's going on right now is, along with this movie being released this weekend, like I said, I went and seen this movie twice because I wanted to really make sure that I soaked it in. And plus, I don't know how long of a release this movie's going to have. It's doing very well at the box office. I think it's finished third, and the only things that have beaten it out were probably, I want to say, the Hunger Games movie beat it out. And I know the Beyonce concert movie did, because that's what Americans do. They go see a fucking concert movie instead of an actual movie. So that makes sense, but I digress. As far as like other things that happened, the new Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire trailer dropped this weekend, and it's literally has split the fan base down the middle, because you have one half that's like me, that's like, I want both. I want the super serious Godzilla from Toho, and I want the fantastical and campy and cheesy side that the MonsterVerse has given us. And then you got this other half that's like, fuck the MonsterVerse, boycott the MonsterVerse, just support Toho. And that half's ignorant as fuck, because what they don't understand is that the MonsterVerse and Toho are symbiotic. Toho is making money off of the MonsterVerse, and it's making money off of its own property. So when you're sent back and you're being super negative online and saying, this isn't what we want, don't go to this movie, you're telling people not to go to this movie, people are dumb enough to listen, you're harming Toho by doing that. And you're potentially putting the future of more Godzilla media coming this way in jeopardy. And I got a problem with that, because all y'all suck. Get off the internet, stop being a bunch of negative Nancys, and watch the damn movie before you just completely shit all over it, because one looks cheesy and campy and one looks super serious. Let's just shut up, guys. Let's watch the movie and let's see what happens. But I can talk about that forever, and I have been talking about that for all weekend with some of these crazy fans that I just don't understand. But again, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I could talk about this forever. I could talk about Godzilla forever. So I'm going to wrap this up. And I just got to say it again, that this movie is one of the biggest surprises of the year. It is worthy of all the praise it is getting. I really hope that people go see this movie before it leaves theaters, so that it can make as much money as possible. I think it's already made its budget back in America alone over one weekend, and that's pretty damn good for a subtitled foreign film. So I hope that people go and support this movie and don't just look at it as another Godzilla movie, because it's that damn good. I hope it wins as many awards as it deserves, and it deserves a lot. And if I were picking right now what my movie of the year is, this might damn well take it. So with all that being said, Godzilla Minus One gets a 5 out of 5 and is Grizzly grade guaranteed. Please go see this movie, guys. This movie is so damn good. Don't let the subtitles deter you. Just go see the movie. You won't be sorry. This movie's phenomenal.
And with that, we bring another episode to an end. Thank you all so much for your continued support. Without y'all, the show isn't possible. If you like this episode, please consider subscribing to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to click the links in the description below to follow me on all social media platforms. Make sure y'all go and check out Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. He's the guy who does all the music for my intros and outro tracks, and as well as what's played in the background throughout the episode. Guy is a synth wave maniac. Dude just has so much talent. Please go support his stuff. You can find him on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, just about every listening platform. Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Hit that guy up. Dude's music's amazing. As far as what's coming up next on the show, got a couple of Christmas movies that have come out that I want to cover. Hopefully time will permit, we'll get that done and maybe even have that as our Christmas special this year. Just don't know what's going to happen yet. Got Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. I really want to cover that movie, but it's coming out so late this year that I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to it or not, but I'm going to do my absolute best. So stay tuned for that. Also, my end of the year picks for my movie of the year, my top films of the year, my worst films of the year, that's coming as well. So stay tuned for all of that. In the meantime, guys, please go see Godzilla Minus One. If you're not a kaiju movie fan, that's fine. Just trust me. Please go see this movie. It is so damn good. Please. Go check it out. And remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.